Welcome back to our Tuesday. Thank you for joining once again. This week's parshas is
Chanukah Shodesh. Chanukah.
We talked about Chanukah last week.
Not doing that. Talking about this week. But we'll throw Rosh Chodesh in a little bit.
My name is Rosh
and Chodesh. And we catch up. Tonight, tomorrow.
Oh, hey. Remember to say hello, folks.
All right. You ready? Good evening, welcome back, everyone. A happy Chanukah and happy Rosh Chodesh.
If you were gonna do that, I'm not gonna be. You could do it.
You're not gonna be so relevant anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. All right, take that back. Let's jump right in. So we're gonna talk a little bit about Chanukah, obviously, and touch upon a little bit of Rosh Chodesh and drop with the parshas Miketz. So the famous question, which is discussed in many commentaries, is. Why is it, if you take a look and notice that when we say Al HaNisim, it only talks about the actual battle, the war that the Maccabim won against Yavanim, against the Greek, and we talk about Al HaNeres HaLalu, we talk about Marzor, primarily we talk about the miracle of the candles. And the Gemara, when it talks about Chanukah, it talks about the miracle of the candles. And the famous question is asked, why that bifurcation, why that distinction? Why is it that when it comes to the praise in Al HaNisim, we don't mention the miracle of the oil at all, but we only talk about the battle, but as opposed to when we talk about what the miracle of Chanukah is, we talk about the candles. So I want to take an interesting observation. There's the word Ketz, which comes up in Rosh Chodesh, in Parshas Miketz, okay? And it all comes up in Rosh Chodesh according to some customs. All those who are Sephardic and Yemenite descent, we say in Musaf tomorrow that should be safe. Sof the Ketz Lachol to different versions of it. Sof the Ketz Lachol Kato Seinu. This should be the end of our sins based on the Rambam. Ashkenazim typically don't say this. I don't know what Nusach Sephard does. Any of the Nusach Sephard folk out there or Nusach Ari, let me know. But also we're saying that let this be the Ketz, the end. Of our averos, and then once we reach that point, the Baruch Hashem, Mitzvah Hashem, which should have the kates of our averos, the end of our averos, then it obviously will deserve redemption. It comes up also the word kates comes up four times in Ma'asur. The first time it comes up is in the third paragraph. It says kates bavel v'zuru bavel, the kates shivim nashati. It was the end of bavel. Then Zerubbabel came along, and the end of my 7 years of waiting between the first place of Mikdash and the second place of Mikdash, I reached my salvation. That's the first two times it's talked about. Then it talks about it again towards the end. When it says, Chavar Zerubbabel Shechav, Karev Ketz HaYeshua, right? You should reveal your holy arm and bring close the salvation. And then it says, but on a more pessimistic note, it says, "V'ein kates l'mehar ra'ah." There is no end to our suffering and our hardship. So, the word kates, as I once heard from the great Gaon and Tzaddik Rav Moshe Shapira Zichron Levracha, he says the word kates doesn't mean to end, to finish, but it means it comes to an end where there's almost no recollection or no remnants of what happened prior. Similar to what we found in Parshas Miketz, right? It talks about the dreams ended, right? And it was the end of the dream. Miketz, and then also Yosef, Miketz Sheva Shanim, was the end of that time, and once the next stage happened, there was no remnant, there was no leftover, there was no almost maybe a fading memory of what happened in the past. The word Ketz is not just the end of something, like you've just completed a task, or you got to a certain destination, but it means that when we got to this point, there's really nothing left. There's no indelible mark left, no imprint left. So that's what we say in Rosh Chodesh. We say that it should be the end of our averus. Not that we're still struggling through them anymore, but we should get to a point where we can renew ourselves like in Rosh Chodesh. We get to a point where there's no more of any left imprint of our previous life, our previous past, of the mistakes we've done. And then we get to that point, then as we say in Davin, as the Rambam writes, then we could begin the redemption of our soul. And that's our constant goal. Our constant goal in life is to get to a point where we have don't have a real impact from things we've done in the past. Not easy. It's not easy. Sometimes we have struggles that we go through. Sometimes that we have bad histories. Sometimes we have traumatic experiences. And very often, there's something left there. It's hard to shed the impact in its full level. But that's our ultimate goal. That's our ultimate hope, that we can get to a place where, at least on a spiritual level, where we no longer have any remnants and impact from those difficult, for those unfortunate and not so spiritual experiences. When we talk about in what's happening in the Ma'at Sur, is that we're going through history. And we recognize that throughout certain points of history, there were certain salvations, there were certain victories that got us to a point where we could say, Case Bavel. It's the end of Bavel. It's the end of that rule, of the Roman Empire rule, that dominated almost the world, that took over so much, that destroyed so many countries, that brought the Jewish people to their knees, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. All of that came to an end. And as we famously know, there's nothing left over of it. It's Kates. Then it says, the Keshiv Noshati, after 70 years, I was redeemed. Then we moved back to Eretz Yisrael. We rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash. There was nothing left from the previous. Then at the end, we ask Hashem, Chashov Zerua Kod Shecha, the Korev Kates Yeshua, bring that level of Kates, bring that level of salvation, where once again we get to the point of salvation that we're not just living, we're not just living a present exile, but we get to the point of redemption. Because until then, we say two lines later, there seems to be an ongoing challenge. There seems to be an ongoing history of journey that we keep running into to potholes, into road bumps, into challenges. We run to October 7th, and we run to different attacks, and we keep getting hit in a way that shows that we're not yet Kates HaYeshua. We've not yet reached that plateau, that level, where we can say this exile is long gone and long forgotten. We are still traveling, and that's our tefillah of Hanukkah. The tefillah of Hanukkah, that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring a Kates like he did in Bavel. He can bring a Kates like we after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we rebuilt the second one. He can bring a Kates what happened to Yevanim. He can bring, he does bring, he has brought salvations to a point where there's nothing left, except if it wasn't for us constantly reminding ourselves of this history, the Roman Empire, for the most part, I don't want to be forgotten because we know the history books are right about it and have the Arch of Titus and all that. But in essence, we're the ones who keep talking about it. We're the ones who keep talking about this, the slavery in Egypt. We're the ones who keep bringing it up because that's how we go through our, that's how we journey through exile. But we're still waiting for the ultimate case. And I think perhaps this is the difference between the tefillah of Al HaNisim and the celebration of the lighting of the menorah. Because the tefillah of Al HaNisim is a recognizable appreciation and expression for that kates, for that end of the battle. A history that passed, a difficult time that we overcame, and with Hashem's help and Hashem's strength, we got to the point where we eventually overcame them. There was nothing left of them. That was a kates. But the lighting of the menorah is not about Kates. The lighting of the menorah is that we go through the journey and we struggle through times of darkness and we're constantly seeking for a higher level of purity. The lighting of the menorah is not about the victory. The lighting of the menorah is how we go through the journey to come victorious, to pave the path for the future goals of the Jewish people, to get to a point where Klal Yisrael will get the Kates HaYeshua, we'll get to that final salvation, that final goal. Will there be no memory of what happened in the past? That's what we're talking about. That's the celebration of Hanukkah. We recognize, we infuse ourselves with the memory of history. We infuse ourselves with the recollection of what took place throughout history, especially on Hanukkah, where we are able to get to a place of salvation that nothing, there are times in history we have become so victorious there was nothing left over from the past. But as the lighting of the menorah reminds us of the constant exile and the constant journey, and we'll keep lighting a path to the future. We keep lighting a candle to light up the future till we get to the place of Kesa Yeshua. I want to share a story with you I read a number of years ago, beautiful, beautiful story, that took place with a Hatzalah member of Lakewood, New Jersey. And he was called to a home, an elderly Jew who happened to be a Holocaust survivor. It was Hanukkah. And the man had some type of seizure or attack or whatever. He's conscious. And as they were taking him out on the stretcher, they walked him past the Hanukkah candles. And he said, "You have to stop." I said, "What do you have to stop?" He said, "I need to light Hanukkah candles." I said, "Sir, I need to light Hanukkah candles." And he paused, they waited, they helped him light. And about to take him, keep wheeling him out. I said, "We're not yet." And next to the menorah was a potato peel, an old potato peel, with a little bit of oil and thread inside of it. And he says, "This is what I lit in the Holocaust and concentration camps. And this is what I light every single year of my life, to remember the journey, to remember the suffering that we went through, and that we were victorious. To ultimately, I can move to Lakewood, New Jersey, have children and grandchildren, and light this, light a real menorah." So while we recognize the victory of the past, the lighting of the menorah reminds us of the journey towards the future. It reminds us that we don't sit on our laurels and say, "We had a past history, we had victories." No. The aim case, there seems to be this ongoing challenge of keep confronting, coming up against situations which are harsh and hard for us. But doesn't stop us. We know that ultimately, just like in the past, you overcame our enemies. Just like in the past, you drowned the Egyptians. You obliterated the Egyptians. You took care of the Greeks. You wiped away the you took care of the Romans. You wiped away the Greeks. Historically, we have seen it over and over and over again. And Beit Hashem will see it with the unfortunate current battle that we're in today, to help the Israeli soldiers and the Israeli government to guide them with the ability to indeed wipe out the evil of Hamas. We're on that journey. The lighting of the menorah reflects not the victory of the past, but it reflects the salvation for the future. It reflects our lighting, our potato peels, menorahs, of the Holocaust survivors, who all understand that there was been suffering for the Jewish people, but we believe in a brighter, lighter future. We should be zeicher to see the kindling of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, the final Beis HaMikdash, when we're able to say, Ketzer Yeshua, we finally reached the final salvation, because of Hebe Amen. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Hi, Josh. Hi, Annie. It's Rosh Chodesh Kislev?
No, there you go. It's Kislev and Kislev now.
No, I was thinking that shouldn't Rosh Chodesh Kislev be the first night of Hanukkah?
No, of course, first night of Hanukkah is the 25th of Kislev. That's when the miracle happened. That's when the battle.
The nace.
Hanukkah.
What happened? The Yevanim? The Greeks? They killed us?
Yevanim.
They killed us?
They tried to.
Oh. Hi, Ariel, Ko, Amen. So beautiful and inspirational. Thanks, just looking.
Thank you.
Thanks, Abigail.
Hello, peoples. How are we all? Yeah, Gulch.
Who's Annie, that's how you spell my name. From Red Oak.
Oh. Hi, Annie. Annie. I remember Annie from Red Oak.
Yeah.
How are you, girl?
Are you still in Utah?
So, yeah. Nice crowd in the town. Levy, how come we don't see you? Hear from you.
What do you mean,
where is he? I assume you're back in L.A. if you're on this now.
Or maybe he's been up drinking all night. Is he in Israel?
Well, those are two options.
Great link between the Chag, Parsha, and Rosh Chodesh.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Is it Parsha's Miketz?
Well, Miketz comes when Hanukkah's finished already, but it's next Shabbos, so we're kind of in that world.
Oh.
Everybody, no, nice to see you. Missed this morning.
It's okay. Your excuse, since you came on tour, well, not really. You came on late.
Right.
I guess it runs. I don't know.
Yeah. Same to mine. All right.
Very good.
Thank you for joining again.
Don't forget.
We should have a beautiful Hanukkah, a holy Hanukkah, mm-hmm. Inspirational Hanukkah. Hanukkah is really the time of delving into a deeper spiritual place. Push yourself a little bit, go a little bit deeper, and extract the light of your own personal neshama, your own personal Hanukkah, Mitzvah Hashem. Don't forget.
Oh, wait. And just by the way, sorry for all that, for all of you guys that missed the meet and greet in Lakewood. We'll do another one. Huh? I'm just kidding. Pretending that you're doing it.
Okay.
All right. Don't forget.
Terror is not just for Tuesday. Love you all. Good night.
I moved your...